blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 325, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Teach me, O Lord, and thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. 1, 2, and 3 of 325.
Scripture reading for this afternoon will be from the book of Romans, and there of chapter 6. Romans 6, but we will first read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? That God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and holy, most righteous God of heaven and God of earth, thou who commandest us to walk according to thy holy law, O thou knowest what we are as was described to us by nature, that it is only iniquity unto iniquity. Oh, it is from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot iniquity. Oh, Lord, convert us. Oh, make us into a new creature. Draw our souls after thee. That is our only hope. It is our only expectation. But, Lord, it need not be an expectation wherein there is despondency, because thou promised it in thy holy word, and thy word still goes forth amongst us and amongst our children, and thy power is so very, very great. Thou hast raised thy own son from the dead, and thou canst raise us from the dead too, and that we might live according to righteousness unto holiness, or that we might bring forth fruits unto everlasting life. O Lord, what is it to be free from sin? O that is what it will be for thy church to a never-ending eternity. We do not know yet what that is. O there is such a small, small beginning of that obedience that thou givest in the heart of thy church here below. Oh, it seems like that has even never begun. So often they must complain of themselves. And yet that desire, Lord, thou knowest what lives within their hearts. Oh, Enoch did walk with God. Oh, Lord, then there is a desire to walk as Enoch. Oh, that we might walk close to thee. That we may be in walking in the favor of thee, or that we might walk according to all thy holy law and all thy blessed commandments. For thou dost not demand of us anything that is so difficult as we were born in, as we were created in this world. And yet it is so impossible to bring forth one little spark of it as we are born into this world. Oh Lord, we need to be born again, that we might have the very first fruits of that obedience in our heart. Oh, it was only thy dear and only begotten Son who has walked so purely here below, that he was without sin, and that he could say, which of you convinceth me of sin? And yet man did not recognize him to be the Son of God, to be divine. And so also, even continuing in our own day, oh, then we need to be given eyes to behold him. We need to be given a heart to love and to desire him. O Lord, wilt thou keep us? O as thy servant Peter did say so long ago, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. O Lord, we need that keeping of thee each and every moment, we and our dear children, that we would be kept from transgressing thy holy law, that we may be kept walking upon a narrow way and not upon that broad way. Everything there for us to be kept from, O Lord, that we may be given so to walk as we may be pleasing to thee in the midst of this life, and that we may be taken unto thee when this life comes to its end. Remember us, each and every one. Look upon the sick and all that are afflicted in the days wherein we are, And when so much does go round, oh, that thou mayst supply from heaven the healing balm in the body, in the mind, but also in the soul. Oh, that thou may look upon all those that have sicknesses of the mind. Lord, thou knowest that we cannot reach them sometimes, but thou art able to reach them. Oh, it seems from our side so impossible then, but it is not impossible for thee. Oh, that we may look up unto thee, therefore, for those who cannot understand anymore, and that thou wouldst work directly in their hearts, and that thou may look upon all the children. Also, they are of little understanding in a natural way. O thou art able to give them spiritual understanding, that they might say, I understand more than all my teachers. O Lord, thou art able to give them new hearts, when they are still young, that they might know the sorrow for sin, and that they might turn away therefrom. Oh, that thou may look upon all those that desire thee, in whom thou hast placed the love of thee. Lord, thou knowest the desires of their heart. Also, when it comes to be Sabbath day, oh, then often they are arising in the morning, and there is such a desire and a longing in their souls. Oh, that this could be the day when they might receive a little blessing, a little token from heaven for their poor soul. Oh, Lord, could it be also in this day that thou may fulfill that blessed hope and that expectation, and that thou would fill them with the love of thee, or that thou would give a word from heaven, Lord, for their soul, that they might eat and drink as the meek in this world, and that they might be satisfied, and that thou may give them a little instruction from thy most holy book, wherein is found the words of eternal life. Oh, that thou may give to them hope, where there is no hope from their side. Oh, Lord, thou takest it all away, not to make a man despair forever, but only to make him despair in himself, that he might hope in thee. Oh, reveal thyself then, Lord. Could it be also in this afternoon hour to those who are without hope, and that they may be given to see, or that they may be given eyes to behold thee, and by a true and a living faith, and that thou wouldst draw upwards unto heaven, and to that blessed obedience that thou dost demand and require, but that thou also dost give. Or that thou may give a little sweetness in thy house in this afternoon, amongst all the bitterness that must be experienced in this world of sin. Lord, there is so much that disappoints. When we are young, or that we may marry one another, we may begin a family. Oh, Lord, then there is so much expectation that this world will give to us what our heart hopes for. But it all has to be broken down. Oh, so much to bring us so low. But oh, could it be that it may bring at thy footstool, and that it might lay us in the place where we are beseeching thee as a poor, as an undone, as a wretched, as a miserable sinner. Oh, give us, Lord, each and every one of us to come to that place for the first time, but also by renewal. Thou knowest all thy children, and they desire to come there again, and they cannot bring themselves to that place again. No, it is all thy work, Lord, and thou art above it all. Thou knowest our hearts. Oh, bring us off our bed of sloth, and give us a hunger and a thirst again, and give us a desire again, give us a longing again. Oh, give us a sweetness when we join with the multitude in the house of God again. And oh, could it be that we might worship thee again? Oh, could it be bowing with our whole soul before thee, who art so worthy to be served, having sent thy dear Son to save sinners in the midst of this world? Oh, Lord, open the eyes of thy people again. Oh, give them to see thee. And give that fountain of free and sovereign grace may be so open before their eyes that they may behold it again, even after all the sin against received grace, wherein they make themselves only more and more worthy to be cut off and to be cast away from thee. Oh, it will be such a wonder, Lord, if we are taken by thee into that eternal home. Oh, it will be such a wonder if that door of heaven is not shut against us in that great day of days because of all our departures that we have departed, leaving thee days without number. Oh, thou art so righteous, Lord, to cast us away from thee. Oh, take reasons out of thyself to look upon us in thy mercy, out of thy dear Son, who has accomplished everything to satisfy thy justice and to satisfy thy good pleasure, oh, to bring a people to love and to serve thee. Oh, could it be that today's the beginning, Lord, of this one or that one, a new life planted in the heart of this one or that one, oh, that is born in Zion with a new heart and with a new flesh. Oh, draw back again those who have wandered, and wilt thou give that thy fold may become full, the fold of that good shepherd who watches over his sheep, of whom not one is lost. Oh, Lord, look upon us. Remember all the needy and the cares that are in this world, the children also that are in the womb. Lord, wilt thou watch over each and every one of them, and wilt thou give a doctor's wisdom when there are difficulties and troubles? And wilt thou give that healthy children may be born? But could it be also children born to be born again? Or that thou may look upon the childless? Remember them, Lord, as thou alone art able to do, who opens and who closes the womb, and give that blessed subjection unto thee, the Most High God. Oh, give unto those who are homeless also a place to live. Remember all those that are loveless, those that have no one to care for them, those who are laying in the streets. Lord, thou knowest those who are addicted to substances that change the mind. Oh, that thou may care for them in thy mercy. Oh, we are thy creation, Lord. What makes us to differ? Oh, let thy love also be shed abroad on such ones in the midst of the sin-cursed world in which we do live. Remember those that have not thy word. Oh, Lord, they might see all around them that God exists. They see all around them thy power. Oh, they are without excuse, thy word to say, because they see thy Godhead in the world that is all about their eyes. Oh, Lord, they need thy word. Oh, could it be that thou wouldst bring it wherever it is not? And thou knowest also here in our own country, oh, we have neighbors, and they also are growing up without thy word. Children who have never heard it. Oh, Lord, they are right next to us. Oh, a nation and that has had it and has departed from it. Oh, Lord, we as a nation are so guilty. Oh, that thou would not leave us to ourselves, but give a revival in the midst of us as established nations and bring thy word to the foreground once again. And wilt thou look upon all those that labor upon the mission fields. Bless thy work there. Help us in this afternoon. Be thou amongst us as one that serveth. Give attention. Give love. Give desire. Give new hearts. Give thy spirit. Give thy presence feelingly, believingly in the midst of us. Help for us to bring thy word and help to hear it for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 428, stanzas 6, 9, and 10. O Lord, thou art my portion and my lot. I said that I would keep thy word forever, though to my sorrow I have oft forgot. With all my heart I now entreat thy favor. Be merciful to me and chasten not. According to thy word, be thou my Savior. 6, 9, and 10 of 428. Beloved congregation, why did Joseph seek a private place to weep when his bowels yearned upon his brethren? He had a reason for that. There was a purpose for that. Why did Joseph require that Benjamin would next time be brought down? He had a reason for that. There was a purpose for that. Everything we do, we have a reason for doing. Because our actions are governed by our will. The making of choices. And our choices are governed by a motive, a reason, a purpose that is living in our heart. If that is so of us, that is even more so of God Himself, in whose image you and I have been created. Not only in the narrow sense, but also in the wider sense, the fact that we have a will and a reason and a judgment and motive. Not all the motives of man are good. Not all of the motives of man are well executed. But all that God motives and does is perfect. Not everything that man purposes is attained. But we read in God's word, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Thus God is working everything after the counsel of His own will. What is the purpose of God's creation? You read the Apostle Paul says, all things were created by Him and for Him. For of Him and through Him and unto Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. You say, then God has failed in His purpose. Because Satan is the prince of the world. Ah, that is true. Satan is called by him the prince of this world. But we also read that God says of Pharaoh, for this purpose, for this reason, I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee. Thus, the eternal punishment of the wicked will be to justify or to glorify the righteous judgment of God. That is one of the purposes of the creation, not only, but also of the fall. Because Solomon says, the Lord hath made all things for Himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil, that He may righteously glorify His righteousness in the condemnation of evil. But He will also fulfill His decree. And when He fulfills the purpose of the salvation of sinners who are freely elected by Him. And what is that purpose? That is what our fathers speak about in the present Lord's Day, Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 32, where they speak about the purpose of salvation, which we consider in the four thoughts that are laid out before us. First, that this purpose is fulfilled in good works. Question and 80, answer 86, the first part. Since then we are delivered from our misery merely of grace through Christ, without any merit of ours, why must we still do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for his blessings, and that he may be praised by us. Thus, that purpose of salvation fulfilled in good works. Second, that purpose of salvation evidenced by good works. Also, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof, thus evidenced by the fruits, by good works. Third, that purpose propagated through good works, and that by our godly conversation others may be gained to Christ, propagated through good works. And lastly, that purpose of salvation requires good works. Question and answer 87, cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? By no means. For the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, any such like shall inherit the kingdom of God. Thus, it requires good works. Thus, the purpose of salvation first fulfilled in good works. Second, evidenced by good works. Third, propagated through good works. And fourth, requiring good works. Our Heidelberg Catechism is congregation divided, you know, into three parts. That is according to the way that the Bible speaks about the salvation of his people. And it is also according to the way that that salvation is experienced in the heart of his people. And our children can tell us what those three parts are. Thus, the first part that we have considered together is the part of the misery of man. That is, as we are born. Born, we read in God's word, dead in trespasses and in sins. That is, that we have cast off God. And that we have lost the image of God. That is, in the narrow sense, in a special way, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. No, that is not the way that we have been born. But it is a consequence of our rebellion. That is, in our first parents, and especially in our first father, who is the head of that covenant of works. And now it is our entire nature, that is that human nature, which has been affected by this fall, which is in and of itself irredeemable, which is not able to correct itself, to reform itself. It is depraved. Do you ever feel that? Do you ever mourn for that? The depravity of your own nature. You say, well, what is that depravity? And you will say, children, well, maybe that is that I do wrong things. That's right, that is included in it. But you know what we need to learn, boys and girls? That it is so much deeper than that. Because when we do something, it's always coming from inside. We always make a choice to do it. And our choice always has a reason. And thus when we do something evil, we do something wrong, or that is coming from a wrong heart. And we need to mourn over this. What is that? Our soul. We have often spoken about that. Our soul. So there is something with our mind. And then our fathers say our minds are blinded. That is not just our fathers. No, Paul says that too. Is where it comes from, the Word of God. Their minds have been blinded by the God of this world. And what is that blindness that we call good evil and that we call evil good? Our fathers speak about our will, and that that will is rebellious, and that it is obdurate. What does that mean? That means that it is constant in its rebellion, and that it does not want to turn away from its rebellion. Our fathers speak about our affections. Our affections are what? They are impure. You ever feel that? That we love the things that are not pure in the holy sight of God. Our fathers speak about our judgment, and that our judgment is perverse. And thus it is our entire being, our entire nature, our entire disposition that is sitting below it, as it were. The very foundation that has been destroyed by sin. In the second part of our catechism, our fathers have spoken about what the Word of God says about the deliverance of man. Oh, did you desire that? Because we have now come to the end of that portion. And it has spoken about deliverance, but have you seen your need for that deliverance? Or have you desired that the Lord would also deliver your own soul? Have you felt the impossibility of delivering yourself from sin? That is, in congregation, in the first place, necessary. The salvation of sinners, that as much as has as much or more to do with the glory of God than what we have just spoken about, that is the condemnation of sinners. God will be glorified in the condemnation of sinners. But God will be much more glorified even in the salvation of sinners. That is, to the glory of His Son, whom He loves and who He desires to be magnified. And that is why that promise. The promise of the Lord has a direction. It has an address. That the Lord is addressing ungodly sinners. That the Lord is addressing lost sinners. That the Lord is addressing those who are not able, who are helpless, who are hopeless to deliver themselves, and wherein the Son of God may be magnified as the Savior, as of an undone and a lost sinner. Ah, we have heard of Him. That mighty Savior, and that God has sent into this world, and how that Savior reveals Himself. That He reveals Himself to an impoverished soul. That He is born in the heart of a sinful man, a sinful woman, a sinful boy, a sinful girl. And then we have heard about the hand that the Lord gives them. You say the Lord gives them a hand? Yes. The Lord gave us a hand to eat our food and drink, right, children? And then the Lord gives his people a hand too. He gives them the hand of faith that he may reveal himself and that they may be able to receive that blessed Savior as their Savior, as their anointed, we heard, as their Lord, as their mediator, as their substitute, as their surety, as their risen minister, as their ascended advocate, as their heavenly guardian. Our fathers have laid that so beautiful out for us. And then we heard about the prophet of faith, making a sinner righteous in Christ before God. And an heir, we read, of eternal life. Thus God justifying a sinner freely, freely through the merits, the active, the passive obedience of his dear Son. And now today our question is, why? Why? Why does God do all of this to an unworthy, to a condemn-worthy sinner? What is his purpose? What is his end? That is now what we come to. This is what our fathers are addressing in the last portion of the Heidelberg Catechism, whereof this is an introduction. Since then we are delivered from our misery, merely of grace through Christ, without any merit of ours. That is, thus it is speaking about everything that has gone before. Why must we still do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by his blood, also renews us by his Holy Spirit after his own image, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for his blessings, and that he may be praised by us. Thus our fathers now give the reason. Why does the Lord redeem his church? That he may renew them, it says. That he may renew them after, it says, his own image again. That they may praise him again. That is the reason, congregation, that the Lord forgives a sinner. Not that a sinner may continue on in his sin, but thou that the Lord may deliver him from his sin, that he may renew him, that he may make him a new man. The Lord cannot do this without first forgiving him. First, the Lord needs to do, as it were, we would say, the legal part. Because this person is by nature laying under under the wrath of God. Thus the Lord is not, we would say, humanly speaking, free to grant him those blessings that belong unto one who is in the favor of God. And thus first is necessary that the Lord is forgiving a man. First is necessary that the Lord is sending his Son, and that price is paid, that man is purchased. And once that man is purchased, then the Lord is able to give unto him these blessings that are flowing out of this redemption, of this purchase. In this congregation, we come now to the most blessed part of our precious catechism, where the end And the whole purpose of the salvation of the church of God is now laid out to us by our fathers. That is part that a hypocrite has no delight in. And why not? Because he never longed for purity. Because he never longed to be delivered from sin. Because all that he wanted was to be forgiven. All he wanted was to escape the punishment. But the love of sin, and that is still living in his heart, that is now the opposite in true regeneration. You know where that begins? That begins with a desire to be holy. Oh, children, do you know that desire? That is where it starts. That you want to obey the Lord. And therefore you want to obey your father and mother too. Because the Lord gives you love in your heart. And you know, boys and girls, that does not go away your whole life. That is where it begins, and that is also where it ends. Because at the end of the life of that people, that is still the desire of the people that they might live according to that holy law of God. That so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for his blessings, and that he may be praised by us. Gratitude. Oh, Adam and Eve should have been grateful, right? You say, for what? For the creation. Yes, we should be grateful for the creation too. Are we? All nature, we read, praises God. The congregation, the praise to God is going to be very much greater by those who are not only created by him, but by those who are redeemed by him. Oh, how can God receive greater glory than gratitude is able to bring to a man? Shall we think about that for a moment? Oh, you say, a man, he may be praised in our heart for his riches. Say, he is a great man. Another man, maybe we say, young people, we look up to him because he is a man that has great power. But is there a man, is there a woman in your life who you have so much gratitude in your heart for? He could be poor. He could have no power in this world. Then you say, you know what? I love that man. I love that woman. Why? Because he helped me. Because he helped me. When I was poor, when I was low, and then he looked upon me. You see what that brings even to a man in this world? And now that is the honor. That is the glory. That is living in the heart of that true church of God. That is now the greatest glory that God is going to receive. Oh, then his people are going to lay there like Mephibosheth and say, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Oh, that is how the Lord is going to be magnified forever and forever. And our fathers say that this gratitude that is in the heart, that is testified by the whole of our conduct. That's what's coming out. So it's testified. That is what's coming out on the outside from the words and from our deeds. That is a testimony of what is living on the inside. That is how we conduct ourselves. Thus here is the great change that the Lord is making in his people. This is his end. This is his purpose. Man has become corrupt. Man has become a server of the world. Man has become a server of sin. And now the Lord is going to forgive that man, and the Lord is going to change him. Oh, do you want to be changed? The Lord is going to change him to be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that is going to serve him again. That is now the end. That is now the purpose of the Lord in the salvation of his church. And so, what will they need first? Ah, you say they need to be born again, right? Yes, that's right. That's why next week, our fathers, they say we need to speak about true conversion. That's what has to happen first now. That is, in the life of a person, he needs to be changed. He needs to be converted. And then they lay out for us that whole law of God. You say, what does that mean, actually? To serve God. What does it mean to be changed? What is the end? What is the purpose? What is now the fulfillment of that purpose that has to be according to what? Well, then they lay out for us what it means to obey that whole law of God. And then finally, prayer. Ah, why? Because congregation, that is now a form of worship. Ah, do you ever just lay before the Lord? Maybe sometimes, children, in your bedroom, you just lay on the floor. Oh, you say, Lord, oh, could I worship thee? I can't make myself so low. And then you can lay before him all your inquiries, all your needs, and you prostrate yourself before the God of heaven and of earth. Prayer. Ah, there you have the end. There you have the purpose. And that is now what our fathers are going to lay out for us. In this last portion, true gratitude is drawing to this. Not driving. No, it is drawing. The work of the Lord, congregation, is sweet. Did you ever feel that in your heart? How good that the Lord is. The Lord is drawing. He is making a people that are willing in the day of his power. Ah, then it is not a burden. No, but then they desire to do what the Lord will have them to do, to renounce our own will and to do only thy will. The Lord cured that demoniac, right? He threw out the legion. And then what did that man say? Oh, he prayed the Lord that he might be with him. Oh, he desired to serve him. Let us sing number 9, 2 and 3. Thou, Jehovah, art a God who delightest not in sin. Evil shall not dwell with thee, nor the proud thy favor win. Evildoers thou dost hate, lying tongues thou wilt defeat. God abhors the man who loves violence and base deceit. 2 and 3 of Psalter 9. The purpose of salvation first fulfilled in good works. Thus the purpose of salvation is fulfilled, congregation, in obedience. Justification is not the end. Forgiveness is not the end. No, sanctification, the renewal. Paul was justified. He was forgiven by the Lord. And yet, Paul, what did Paul say? He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And thus, what was he looking for? He was looking that that full end, that purpose would be fulfilled, that that body of sin would be put away. And now this week, our fathers address this end and this purpose. And next week, they will address the beginning of that salvation, that is, in the renewal of that heart, that true conversion where sanctification begins. Thus, heaven begins on the earth. Do you believe that? It begins on the earth. Where there is a small beginning of obedience. And that obedience is now heaven. That is what the church is looking for, waiting for. That is what the Lord has promised to them. You ever desire that? Oh, that you could say, that you say, if I could only live so according to the word of God, to the law of God. That is why that antinomian doctrine is so perverse. It is against the law. And it shows its hypocrisy. It ends not in sanctification, but in justification. What pleasure does the Lord have in a disobedient and unholy people? No, the Lord says, if you love me, keep my commandments. But our fathers do not only say that this purpose is fulfilled in good works, also they say, evidenced by good works, also that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. Good works, the fruits thereof. So what are good works? They are not done just according to the law of God, but they are also proceeding from something. They're coming out of something. They're coming out of faith. Thus Paul says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Thus, motive is what matters. Even in an earthly court, a man who has outwardly transgressed something, oh, what will the judge say? He says, well, why did he do it? Then he is looking for that man's motive. Every one of us are conscious of motive. What did Paul say? He says, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. Thus his soul was conscious of a conflict within himself. A conflict with a desire that he had within himself. And it is the consciousness of this warfare which is a testimony. It is a testimony in the heart, not of a pure person. It is a testimony in the heart of a sinful person. Or it is evidence that there is something in his heart that is one with the will of God and that desires to do the will of God. Or as long as the church is in this tabernacle, there is going to be strife, inward strife. with desires and that are longing for a perfect obedience. Oh, do such desires also live within your heart. David besought the Lord. He besought the Lord to renew his affections. He says, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Oh, he says, that covetousness that is living in my heart. Oh, I don't need to be inclined to that, that I feel that in my heart. Oh, Lord, wilt thou incline me a different way? Incline me unto my heart, what I love, my affections. Incline them unto thy testimonies. Oh, Lord, wilt thou influence my choices, my will. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, because therein do I delight. I delight thy commandments, but now make me to go therein. Oh, then he felt something of that conflict, that warfare. He had to beseech the Lord, not only for his affections and for his will, also his understanding. He says, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it, he says, with my whole heart, if thou wilt give me understanding, that I may understand what is the true good and not the false good. Oh, that thou would open my eyes. No, that is not then the outward perfection in good works. That is the assurance for God's children. Otherwise, there is no assurance for them, because they cannot come to such an outward perfection. No, it is not an outward perfection that is an assurance for them. Do you know what also is not an assurance for them? That they lack the desire for sin anymore. Oh, if that had to be the assurance, you say, I don't desire sin anymore. Well, then I do not know of man in the whole Bible or in the whole world that is as you. Then I think you do just not know yourself. Because if we know ourselves, and then we know that we do still desire sin. And so if that was now it, you say it would be impossible for a person to receive this testimony in their heart. But what is now that assurance that our fathers are speaking, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof? Do you know what it is? It is the consciousness of that warfare. The inward motives, the inward desires that are living in their heart, the chastising of yourself, and the longing that your heart would be different. That is the daily struggle of that militant church. Thirdly, our fathers say this purpose of God to renew the hearts of men to himself is also propagated by good works, that by our godly conversation, others may be gained to Christ. When we have an inward motive, and that ends in a good word or in a good deed, that congregation affects, influences, the Lord says, other people. The consciences of men are pricked, that is, of wicked men in this world, are pricked when they see a righteous man, a righteous boy, young people, children, boys and girls, when they will see you and you walk uprightly. And then in their heart, or in their conscience, there is a prick. And they say they do right, and I do wrong. Oh, it is raising hatred sometimes in the hearts of men, because it is such a prick in their conscience. Think about the enemies of Daniel. Well, when they could not find anything about his whole life, but sometimes that is now used by the Lord to bring a person to love that way. That is not to despise you, but to despise themselves, that they may turn from their way. Oh, think how Ruth, living in Moab, she was drawn away from that people that was all through the example, that was through the life of another person, that is the conduct, the conversation of her mother-in-law, Naomi. Read about Hilkiah, that he found the book of the law in the house of the Lord, and then he read that before Josiah. And now that young king was the means in the hands of the Lord to work a great revival among the people of the Lord. So the Lord is using men as instruments to gather his church. You know what the Lord Jesus said to that demoniac? He said, go unto your friends. Go home to your friends and tell them now how great things the Lord has done for thee. And so our fathers say that by our godly conversation, others may be gained to Christ. That is by our influence. You know, Pelagius, he said that we are all created and born tabula rasa, so a blank slate. We are not created and we're not born good or bad. No, we are just created neutral, and we are born into this world neutral. So where does virtue and vice come from? Where does good and bad come from? That all comes from influence. We see something happen, and then we desire to be good or we desire to be bad. That is, congregation, a very great error. We were created very good, and we are born very bad. But still, that social influence is a very, very great power, because the Lord has made us social creatures, and God has permitted that even Satan's temptation had such power that it was able to influence a man and a woman whose whole disposition was only to do moral good. And the Lord has given that Satan's temptation was so powerful that it has brought down a man and a woman who had such a disposition. Oh, now multitudes are following wicked men and women. The Bible says they are laid like sheep in the graves, multitudes and multitudes. They are laid like sheep in the grave, and the Bible says death does feed on them. But now also the Lord is giving by times that a good influence may be so powerful in the life of a wicked boy or a girl, man or a woman, and that by his spirit that is able to come, a nature that is only desiring moral evil. And so the Lord is using such a man. Oh, you say good works, they seem so weak, right? Oh, you say, who sees it? No one sees it. Someone hears it, or it just passes on. Thus, in the face of the power of our fallen nature, Oh, then it seems just so weak. And yet, the Lord says that the Lord is giving those good works to be for the influence of men. You know, I was thinking about the Samaritans. Who would have ever thought that that people, you know, you read in the Bible, and that those Samaritans, they besought Jesus to tarry with them. Who would have ever thought that? The Samaritans, they have no dealings with the Jews, right? And here you have those Samaritans, they are beseeching him that he would stay and that he would not leave, that he would not go away. So how did that happen? That was all through one little spark, one little word of a sinful woman. You know what the Lord says in his word? They that turn many to righteousness, they will shine as the stars forever and forever. Oh, could we be a little instrument? A little instrument somewhere. That someone would be converted to God, and that by our godly conversation, others may be gained to Christ. And thus the purpose of salvation that is also propagated by good works. And now finally, it also requires good works. Cannot they then be saved who continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives are not converted to God? By no means. For the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, any such like, shall inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? It means that good works are also necessary. Then our fathers say you cannot be saved without them. You say, but I thought that it was of grace. Is not salvation of grace? Oh, indeed it is. Our fathers do not retract that, far from that. Otherwise, it would make it impossible for each and every one of us. This requirement, congregation, that is not a requirement for the sake of merit. Thankfully not. Otherwise, we all are lost. If we had to obey in order to earn, oh, the Lord says, that is all done. That price is paid. But now that obedience, that is one, something that is required as a fruit. As a fruit. Well, as the Bible says, say, by their fruits ye shall know them. That is, that good works must necessarily flow out of the salvation of a man. And if they don't, then you know that the tree is dead. And thus, By these a man may be examined. A person that is continuing to go in the way our fathers say here, unchaste, idolater, adulterer, thief, and so on. When a man is continuing so, then he is showing himself to be a tree that is not alive. He is not bringing forth good fruits. There may be some leaves of religion, but there is nothing that is of the service of the Lord. Is that not simple? If the end and the purpose of the Lord is not attained, then there is no salvation. That cannot be. From what then would a man be delivered? If he is delivered, not delivered from sin, then from what is he delivered? What do you want to be delivered from? Say, I want to be delivered from death. I want to be delivered from hell. I want to be delivered from punishment. Those are not sin. Those are the consequences of sin. And everyone in the whole world desires to be delivered from death and from hell and from punishment. So if we have those desires, then we are not necessarily different from anyone else in the entire world. But now, are you distinguishable? I cannot answer the question for you. You have to answer that yourself. Are you now distinguishable from the rest of the whole world in that your desire is not only to be delivered from the consequences, but that your desire is to be delivered from the commission, of sin itself. That you desire a new walk. That you desire a new way. Oh, do you say with David, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Is that cry in your heart? Or if that is true, if that cry is truly in your heart, then I may tell you something. Then you are a soldier in the church militant. If that cry is truly in your heart, that is now the cry that the Lord is giving in the very beginning of regeneration. And that cry will not disappear, though it can go so low. It can go so low that you think it is not there anymore. But it will never completely disappear. And then it will come also in the end. And then there is a testimony that is, that there is fruit that is living in your own heart. Do you know that every shortcoming and every failure of that weak people in the midst of this warfare is freely forgiven, is freely washed by the blood of Christ? Oh, it is for that people that he has said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Oh, it is for this people that law of God has been fulfilled by him. And now it is this people who are waiting. Who are waiting for that day, then it will not be just the beginning anymore. But are waiting for that day when that beginning shall be perfected. Oh, glorious day. Glorious day of that militant church. When they shall become a church triumphant. And when this corruption shall put on incorruption. And all sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we need to become one of that church militant. And thou knowest how hypocritical our hearts are. O, deliver us from ourselves and make us true before thee. Give us to flee from sin. Give us to hate sin. Oh, give us new hearts of flesh. Forgive our sins and renew us. Oh, that we may become a new creature. Oh, for as thy servant did say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look upon us in thy mercy. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Bring us safely home. And give us to keep thy day holy. Give us desires to read thy word and what is based thereon. And help us in this week, each one, to do the work of our hands diligently and faithfully. In thy most holy sight, help the children at school. And when they may have difficulties in learning, wilt thou give them also a place at thy footstool. And to know that thou livest, care for the sick, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422:6, 7, and 8. Thou art, O God, our boast, the glory of our power. Thy sovereign grace is e'er our fortress and our tower. 6, 7, and 8, 422. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.